Welcome to the Ramswriter Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yeah. He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Ramswriter Podcast. Simon Long, Chris Holt here as always, and another guest today, Nick Webster. This is match ball day today. This is the third time you've been on the show, so surely we'll have to send him something, Chris.
We'll send him a ball. Do you want it signed, Nick? Do you want it signed by both of us?
I've not got a signed ball, so that'd be great.
Do you want one of those classic retro balls we were talking about last time you had you on?
100%.
Oh, Simon's on eBay now, look, as we speak.
Just tapping away. Are we both good? Are we both well, yeah?
Yeah, all good.
Good.
All good, matey.
So I won't beat around the bush. We are potentially... Well, we're in the top six again. Nick, the worst thing is, the last time you were on here, you said in 10 days, we could be out of the top six, and you weren't wrong.
I know. Well, it was true, though, wasn't it? But the fixtures we had, it was going to happen, and it did happen. And, you know, it's... So... Perhaps best you don't ask me a prediction what I might think then in the game day.
True. Well, it is one of them. But we are back in the top six thanks to a 1-0 win against Burton Albion last week. Yeah. To be honest, looking back, I was at the game and obviously, I know you were Nick, no, you were Chris. Looking back at it, I mean, at the time watching, I think the first 10, 15 minutes was a bit like, what's going off here? But then I think we just grew into the game and probably should have maybe won about three or four, to be honest. I think they only really had two clear-cut chances. One, they hit the post in the first half, and then Erin Cashin's brilliant bit of defending in the second half. But David McGoldrick penalty, another goal for him now. Was that 22, 21 for the season?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
I think it's 26, including Tim Pott trophies.
Is it? Bloody hell. Mm. Impressive. Wow. Yeah, we will. I'm not going to talk great with it because it was like 6-7 days ago now. We won back in the top six. What I'm going to talk about, though, we've gone to a new formation. The three at the back, but it's more of a 3-4-3. Nick, what do you make of it? This new sort of three at the back, four in midfield, and then obviously we've got Didsey on his own with Mendes Lang and Lewis Sibley, of all people, playing next to him.
Well, it's working, isn't it? Mm. It's working. And I think there's a lot of thinking behind this. That it's potentially going to throw a lot of the opposition off. Again, it's just another kind of way of trying to defeat the opposition, isn't it? I think by throwing a total different formation up that they're not expecting. Because let's be honest, we were pretty predictable trying to get the balls down the wing, weren't we? In particular, Mendes Lang.
Yeah.
So I think mixing it up, and you know, my opinion is of recent that the back three haven't really been troubled at all.
No,
I think what we're seeing is we're seeing Cashin taking throw-ins about 20 yards from, you know, from their goal.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I am really glad you mentioned that. It does seem it's either Forsyth or Cashin taking throw-ins. Chris, from a coaching perspective, what do you make of that? What do you think the reason is for that?
What, the throw-ins or the change formation?
Well, both.
I think the throw-ins is all about obviously physical strength and the attribute to actually launch a ball into the danger of the 18-yard box. And the formation allows to do that because obviously they've got cover in wing-backs with a bit of pace. I go back to what we spoke about on the last podcast when we all said that we were leaking in goals with mistakes and we seem to have a lot of square pegs in round holes. I think what he's done now is looked at the squad, he's sat down with the coaches and gone, what is the actual best formation we can get to get more square pegs and square holes? Mm. And I think this formation actually suits And although it's not going to be the most flamboyant, what I thought against Burton, other than obviously the carry-all chance, which was easier to miss than easier to score than miss, and I think that gave us a big shot in the arm. I just feel that this allows a bit more composure on the ball. I also think that it allows more juice in the legs. It allows the engines to keep going. If you notice, the substitutions have got later. The last two games have been in the 80th minute. It's been, I think, been the earliest. And I just think we've gone to almost Billy Ball, which we spoke about in the past, where let's go into the final two games. Very, very difficult to beat. Ultimately, if you don't concede, you're on the board. And I think we've got to now say to teams, you've got to come and beat us, rather than we going out there sometimes too gung-ho, trying to beat teams within 45 minutes, and all of a sudden we're coming back out of second half absolutely exhausted. I think this formation allows us to do a bit of both, a bit of structure, a bit of possession, but most importantly, solidity.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Nick, but I think it's quite smart because Chris mentioned it there. Mendes Lang especially, he was knackered every game after 60 minutes playing as a 3-5-2. Now we've got Knight and Roberts as wing-backs. Knight is the person for me that Hayden Roberts, I quite like him. I think he's a good player. I'd be happy if we did sign him for next season. Jason Knight, though, he's been one of them that trying to find a position for him. Obviously, he's played pretty much everywhere this season. What do you think about him playing like a right wing back now? Do you think it suits him?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, at this current time, it suits him. I think you look for Roberts, he's kind of. Well, realistically, he's only our really proper left wing back, isn't he? Now, he seems to be going back, you know, how he was under Lusinia, where he'd cut inside. And again, it's offering enough of a dynamic, isn't it? And it's working. Now, I think we've got that on the left side. And then you've got Knighty on the right side. He's bringing that energy in there. He can also defend as well. Whereas, you know, if we perhaps, you know, we've had this discussion before, haven't we? Who plays wing back, Dobbin, Barkays, and Mendes Lang. Well, you know, they're not quite defensive, are we? So it goes back to what you were just saying about, look, let's not get beat. And I think that's really helping. And you know what? This formation works for me. I like it. It's nice that we've got proper wing-backs because Knighty can attack as well as can Roberts. So I think it's pretty bang on. And it's nice that we're not kind of thinking, well, where else can we fit Knighty in? Because we can't really fit him in the midfield because we need Horahan and Bird. He's wasted up front, really. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
you know, he's not going to score goals, is he, Si? So, no. So again, if you want to win games, you need goal scorers. He ain't going to score. So that gives another opportunity, okay, Mendes Lang, Collins, etc., or Barkays and Dobbin to have that second forward position with Goldrick. So I think it's a great move all round. I really do.
Yeah, and I know Chris obviously mentioned it there about the subs and the times coming on. I think it's quite smart because you look at him now, he's bringing Collins on. You know, he's going to run his knackers off for 10, 15 minutes for you. Dobbin, another one.
Yeah.
You know, his pace causes tiring defences problems. You think, oh, I've had Mendes Lang, I've had to run after him all game. Oh, now I've got Dobbin. Oh, great. You know, so I think overall it's very smart. You know, he likes his three at the back. And it's, you know, let's be honest, these players were bought into a 4-2-3-1. That's what they were there for. Now, obviously, this 3-4-3. To be honest, one player I think it has brought the best out of is Conor Hourihan.
Yeah.
He's got freedom now in this role. I think he felt like he was covering or doing too much. Knight's going forward, or I better say, but I think now he seems to be like, well, there's a plenty of protection at the back, you know, so he can get forward, drop into little pockets of space and do what Conor does, and that's put balls in a box and, well, when he can, try and get on the end of things.
What I love about the formation is if you look at the substitutes bench against Burton, the formation allows light for light to come off the bench. So on the bench, you had Dobbin and Barkhuizen, who can obviously fill in for Mendes Lang. And on the far side, I'll try to think, Sibley. And then you've got Rooney and Smith, who can both play at wing-back. They've both played at wing-back before this season. You've got Harvey White, who can cover anyone who's flagging in midfield and play that formation, knowing it can play alongside Hourihan and Bird. And then last but by no means least, James Collins, exactly what you said, Simon. can go up to be the pivotal strike force and replace McGoldrick. And you don't lose continuity. And I think what we've done in the past is we've knee-jerked too much and we've lost continuity. And there's a phrase, isn't there? Play yourself into a game. But it's very difficult. Easier said than done, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's really weird, this whole formation, because we just pulled up into Exeter, we saw the team, and both me and George went, I'm not liking this at all. I'm really, you know, and then because I was concentrating trying to find the car park. So then we got out of the car, and we actually went through the team, and we're like, hang on a minute, this is all right. Who's going to be up front? Because nobody knew really where we were going to play. Mendes Lang up front, kind of with McGoldrick playing off him, bit of pace. Thought, yeah, I'm kind of liking this.
I messaged Chris saying he's simply playing up front McGoldrick. Yeah. I couldn't work it out. I was like, what's going on?
If we can't work it out, how the hell do we expect the opposition to work it out? But the crucial thing, like you just said, Chris, or Stark, I can't remember, you know, for that game, Dobbin and Collins came on for the last 10, I think it was, or something, wasn't it? And they literally ran ragged. That defence, they kept pressing them and squeezing them. And one thing I really did notice about the Exeter game, which is kind of when, you know, these last two wins happened for us, isn't it? The squeeze and the pressure was superb. And I think, again, you look at 90 in that right wing-back position, he's got the energy to do that. Bird's got the energy to do that, as has Roberts. And when you haven't got that, that's when, like you say, Dobbins and Collins come on. So you've got that added energy in there, haven't you? That, you know, and let's be honest, at this level, you can squeeze a team as much as you can, they're going to make errors because that's just the standard of the football. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think it works.
This absolutely works. Cue the 1-0 loss tomorrow.
No, don't say that. We know you're like a predicting. You're quite good
at it. I know.
Oh, shit.
I know. We've done it now. It's done for. But I think you're... Yeah, it's good. It works. I think it works. You know, all across the park. Defense is solid. Midfield is brilliant. Strikers. You know, we've got McGoldrick up there. He's got Mendes Lang. He's got Sibley hovering around him because they don't push out wide. They do if they need it there, the space there. But they like to, you know, get close to him. And I think it'll be a good thing for Sibley because we know, you know, he likes to be. You know, he likes to score goals. You know, he played as a 10. That was his. You know. I guess most natural position.
Yeah,
play him a little. He's not a winger, but this position sort of allows it. It's like an inverted winger. You know, it's almost like you're playing two players just behind McGoldrick. But I think this position will suit him really well. He's getting in and around the box. He's getting a few chances, and you know he can terrorize defenses by running at them. You know that's what he does. So I'm sure if this is the way we continue, you know, for the end of this season, maybe into next season, who knows? You know, it will be a good thing for him.
I think it'll be definitely the plan for next year, won't it? I think there's a bit of, let's not get too short-sighted on this because, you know, whatever happens this season happens, but I think we've got to start bedding in what we're doing for next season now, regardless of how important this season is, because long-term-wise, that has to be the plan. That is going to be the plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flat three. Now, you could perhaps argue, you know, well, you don't really want to argue on it, but two of the centre-backs won't be here next season. So already, all of a sudden, you start fitting them in with 26, 28-year-olds alongside Cashin. And all of a sudden, it's looking really healthy going forward, looking at the bigger picture here, which he has to do. He can't just... I don't think he can go into next season and think, right, here we go, I'm playing my formation now. Because some players are still going to be here from last season. Yeah. The sooner you start the process, as Chris will tell you as a coach, the better it's going to be.
There is an argument, you're right, Nick. There could actually be four that go because if you put Chester in there, and I presume I presume you're on about possibly
Davis,
Curtis, Stearman, and then I think Roberts has put himself well and truly in a championship window. As much as we like him, he is a talented lad, and he's very versatile.
Well. I was going to talk about this because obviously I know we spoke with Darren Robinson, Chris, about contracts and looking forward next season. It obviously has come out that Warne does want Hayden Roberts again next season and on a permanent. And which I think, you know, okay, all we've heard about so far then is Roberts and McGoldrick. So we'll talk about Roberts first. Nick, would you quite happily keep him next season on a permanent deal? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No hesitation whatsoever. Thanks for coming.
Do you know what, though? That being said, though, you know, he has. I did feel that he stumbled, you know, mid-season. I think he struggled. But again, we could argue all the changes that happened. Yeah. People were playing out of positions left, right, and centre, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I think he struggled with that. But he seems to have now found his rhythm. Mm. Now, if he's going to sign for us, it's got to be left wing back, hasn't it?
Yeah.
My gut feeling is, though, as much as I would sign him, I also, at the same time, it all depends how he decides to exactly play the formation. But he may well want a proper left wing back, an old school left wing back, somebody that's going to defend and attack and get to that touchline and get the ball in the box.
Let's not forget Roberts is primarily his main, you know, his prime position is a centre back.
Yes, which I don't necessarily see him as personally.
No,
I'd love to know. Oh, sorry, Dick. Go on.
No, I was just going to say I just can't see him as a centre back. I like my centre backs, I guess, to be like Cashin and I guess Curtis Davis. You know, that kind of build. I don't think
it gives you a level, pace, which is something that both Cashin and Davis, etc., lack.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I suppose if you are playing a back three, then you can afford to have that in there, can't you? I suppose, but. You know, the short answer is yes, I would sign him 100%. I just feel that they may well be some championship clubs in there. And I guess it all depends on if Rotten them offer a contract or whether we have to start paying Compo for him, because then all of a sudden it becomes a different deal, doesn't it? And it may not be a good deal for us.
You see, I just wonder whether Brighton keep him on their books for another year or two, like they did with Ben White.
If he's got any sense, he wouldn't sign a new contract.
Mm. No,
he's just going to get loaned out again to a championship club. Why not settle down in Barbados? You know, settle your home life down. He's just spent another year away from home as it is. Mm. Why go and spend another 2 years? Sometimes footballers have got to be brave and take that step down, I think, you know, to prolong their careers.
He's brave enough to walk around Chad anyway, so.
Does it?
Is that where he lives?
I don't know if he lives there, but he normally pops into Tesco.
Nothing wrong with Chaddiston, by the way. I was in the Toby Carver this morning. and it's an incredible breakfast.
Well, Joe the Tesco next to the Toby Carver.
Yeah.
My mother works there, and she says, oh, yeah, he comes in here quite a bit. Normally, he's obviously finished training. He'd get a bit of fuel or a bit of food or something like that. Yeah, so he normally does pop into Chad quite a bit, into Tesco quite a bit of Chad, so. He's brave.
So Chad or Brighton at the seafront. Let me think about that.
It's one of them, isn't it? Which one?
Going back to what you were saying, I'd be interested to know how much of the games that have been watched by our recruitment director or whatever his title is, and he's pinpointed players that we've played against at Pryor Park and away from Pryor Park that have sort of raised your eyebrows. I don't know about you, but I was quite impressed with quite a few of the Burton players, certainly for their resilience and their ability to defend.
Come on, we're already calling them Derby County's B team.
Well, Nick, of who you've seen, you know, if you could pinpoint a player or two that you've seen at Pryor Park that have played against us. Have you got a little notebook in your?
I have. I rely on George for this. He's throwing me all these Rotherham names at me. I can't. If you told me the name, I'll tell you who it was. But he's met Joey or something like that from Rotherham. I don't know. He's out of contract or something.
The lad Collins at Bristol Rovers for me. His midfield scores quite a few. He basically dictated their midfield in the second half. I just thought, wow, he's.
I think the whole thinking behind getting the recruitment guy in is that he's going to pick players like that are not necessarily household names. And I think that's the situation that we're in as well, isn't it, really?
It'd be nice to have that to buy and sell. Yeah.
You see, although he gave the penalty away on Saturday, I like Joe Powell. And I have done for a while. I think he wouldn't have to leave house as such. I presume he's living locally to live in Burton. You know,
Brayford did us a favour, heading that one over the bar.
I winked when did it.
Yeah,
you notice he winked.
I meant that one.
He's a good man, Brayford. I've had many conversations with him over the years. Many conversations.
How old is he now?
35.
He's about 35, 36, I think. But he is someone that you would want at your football club. You know, going back to, I remember when Burton beat us and we had a conversation, and you know, he was telling me why they beat us, and some of the players we had at the time, just you could tell that there's no heart in it. And that, for me, that was quite hard to hear, because you know, you're trying to back these lads, aren't you? But it was bang on the money.
Yeah.
People like that that go under the radar are the players that we need at this football club. Mm. So those Collins, the Powell, people like that that can make that step up, give them that opportunity, winners and hungry. You know, we haven't had hungry players for quite a while now. Remember the days when we signed, when we had Keogh in his prime, Brasso in his prime, players that were hungry, that needed something to prove to get further in the career.
Well, that's been Luton Town's philosophy, isn't it, for the past 2 years?
Chris. Yeah.
And you look at their squad, all of them in the past have been either left out of Premiership or Championship teams and had to go, down a couple of levels to get their form back, and look where they are now. So, I think you've got a great spot there, Nick.
I think you need to be buying players to actually sell. I mean, you look at I hate to really use that, but, you know, how many players have we signed and then actually sold for some dollar? Probably Vidra.
Vidra's the only one I can think of recently is Vidra.
And not youth team, because obviously Hendrick was obviously, you know, academy, wasn't he? So it's probably only Vidra that we've really ever sold for anything. All the others, Butterfield, Anya, Thorne,
Yazazun, Malone.
Yeah, you know, they've not had any value in him.
Nah.
They've always got, and to be fair to Mel Morris, if I'm going to say that in the same sentence, Bielik was the first signing that actually had a bit of value about it at the time, because we thought, okay, we're going to sign this player and he's going to have a really good resale value. Obviously, it went really wrong.
It's 10 million for him, though, wasn't it?
It's a lot of money. Well, it was 10 million, but then you're looking at over 4 or 5 years or whatever it is. I mean, we still owe God knows how much money. Number one we ended up getting shafted on.
I tell you what, he's absolutely flying in the MLS at the minute. He's banging him in for fun at Charlotte. He was the same as he was at Derby, where he had a really quiet start, but he seems to have really settled down, and he's scoring pretty regular. What I see on his Instagram anyway. So
it's a shame it never worked out for him. But
no, I think there's a good player in there. It was just circumstances and everything.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
But moving on. McGoldrick, then, another one that Warren spoke about, wants to keep him, it would seem. This, for me, is a tough one, just simply because, yes, he's bad goals for fun, but he's, what, 35, 36 next year? Am I doing him a disservice there? Or is he actually... No, he is. He's the same age as me. Yeah, so, Chris, would you sign McGoldrick? Would you, even on a year's deal?
Yes, for the ultimate professional in the house. If any up and coming player wants to learn how to look after their body, how to behave, how to mentally be strong,
can I just say, Chris, about you mentioned how to behave? Do you think it's acceptable for him to be joining in the Mendes Lang song "Extra Away"? By the way, you've recorded to be sung.
Yes, I do.
Did he really?
He likes that song, you know.
He's singing it at the near post.
Some
2 year contract. 2 year contract. Get it signed now.
I can't remember who it was now that it some fan of a different team was on his Instagram, but he was sort of obviously managed to see him after the game. I was just chatting to him, filmed it, put on YouTube, whatever, interviewed him, sort of thing. And he said his favorite song is the Mendes Lang one. He says he's always singing it to him in the dressing room.
Brilliant. It's superb. So, you know, when you talk behaviour, Chris, I just wanted to point that out. Sorry to interrupt, but...
Okay, let's remember that, though,
is someone that is so relaxed and so happy playing football on a field that, fair enough.
Just one other thing I'll point out as well. Where was it? It was either Forest Green or Bristol Rovers. I can't remember one of them because we were in the same place on the terrace.
Did you have a meat pie or some asparagus?
Oh, neither.
Then you know where he was.
I'm not really into that veggie lot. But McGoldrick did something. The next thing you know, you heard Barkays and go, "Oh, Dave!" Like that. Everyone's like just laughing, pissing themselves around the terrace. So obviously he's got that respect as well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
No, it's all right. I'll reverse what I said and we'll remove behaviour out of the descriptive and we'll stick to ultimate professional. Good character, can we have Nick? I think we can have good character.
Yeah.
And I think he's got his mojo back himself. This is a guy who, in February of last year, didn't know whether he was ever going to play again. You know, he came out of the Sheffield United team with quite a serious thigh injury, if I remember rightly. And hearing his interview today, he was saying that he got no phone call throughout the summer and he wasn't quite sure where he was going. Then along came Derby County and the rest is history. So I also think he's a man of honour. He doesn't have an agent, you know. So he's his own man. And he's a family man. He's a Nottingham lad. And won't hold that against him. I just think that why would he want to move? He might want one final ambitious move somewhere. I can't see him going abroad and going to the glamorous lights of the USA. I think...
Saudi, I think now, mate. Saudi now.
Saudi. I just... Well, that... I could do a whole podcast on that farce. But I just think that he'll stay. I think home is where the heart is. And I think he's found a club for the first time. Although they loved him at Sheffield United, it went a little bit south, didn't it, towards the end. And I think it was the best for both parties. But we've got to remember this guy, we didn't really have him for the first 7 or 8 games. Imagine where we'd be if we had him up and running from game one. Who knows?
What absolutely staggers me about him is how he can have a mediocre performance by his standards, whereas the ball's not sticking to his feet, his little twists and turns aren't working, but then all of a sudden he'll pop up and bang you a goal out of nothing. For me, that's what he did against Exeter. He did it twice. He wasn't great. He wasn't keeping hold of the ball. It was getting loose. His little skills weren't working. Yeah, he scored 2 goals and won the game for us. When was the last time you feel that we had a striker like McGoldrick there get a goal out of nothing?
Strupar,
what a shot.
Oh, love Branko.
Tell you what, he could hit a free kick, he could. Was it Everton that he came off the bench and banged? It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Unbelievable.
For all youngsters who are listening to this podcast and you want to know the greatest striker ever to play for Derby County, for goals per game ratio.
Esteban Poeters.
Oh, well, his ratio wasn't bad.
Wasn't his 1 in 2 or something like that before he got deported?
At home. Did he get his passport from Munich?
I don't know where he got
it. If I was still working at the airport, things would have been arranged.
What I don't understand is, with a guy with a dodgy passport who's only about 5'2", why don't you put him in your luggage? Don't give him a seat. Put him in your luggage and get him through customs that way, man. Jeez. Sorry, Nick Branko. Strupar, what a player.
Ledge.
Yeah, definitely. He was a great player. So, yeah, McGoldrick and Nick, would you keep him? I'm assuming you would.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find a Derby fan that won't say keep him. However, there is, again, the long-term plan to think of. And, you know, let's not be too short-sighted on this, I guess. Yes, he has been scoring all the goals, but for the greater of the team, next season, he may well not be the kind of player that Warne wants in his style. And I guess that's something that's got to be considered. Listen, the short answer is you've got to sign him up because... Mm. I think he would fit, and I think, as Chris, you know, very rightly pointed out in his wonderful glowing CV, he's a kind of player that you want around the club.
Do you think he'll drop back a line though, Nick or Simon?
Possibly.
Do you think he'll come from the front line and go probably back into more of a creative role and save his legs for the longevity?
I think it'll be someone you bring off the bench.
Yeah, maybe. I think as well, you've got to remember, Warne wants his team fit. Mm. Now, you know, his legs are going to go, and you've just pretty much said it, Chris, you know, dropping back, doing the old Ryan Giggs and the old strikers that used to go back, you know, play that centre midfield. But it's a tricky one, I think, where you try and fit him in. If you're wanting this young team that's going to, you know, be fit, and, you know, he could well be sacrificed. We don't know, do we? But for me, I would sign him up 100%.
See, this is... I'd keep him, one, for what you both said, but also I'd love to bring in someone like, is it Macaulay Longstaff from Notts County?
Yeah, I've heard about, George mentioned him, yeah.
Scored 41 goals this season.
Yeah.
If they don't go up, I would give him a chance and say, well, come here, Didsy, show him the ropes. Do you know what I mean? He can clearly score goals. So why not try and do it? You know, for me, it would be if we didn't go up. Championship might be too much of a step, but League One, I think, why not? Why not try it? Someone like that.
Yeah, I agree on that. Totally agree on it.
I just don't see Notts County letting him go for nothing. I think he could be one of the first.
Yeah, but if it's National League, mate, they're not going to... It ain't going to be for nothing, but they'll give him something. And it'll be cheap. He ain't going to cost you 5, 6, 7 million. No way.
We could give them a fresh set of paddle bats for their paddle tennis centre outside their ground.
Well, hang on a minute.
Or a roof for it, which I find...
Well, we own a stand, don't we? How many stands do we get? Johnson, Short...
Short stand. Yeah, that is a really good point.
Tommy Johnson, Craig Short. Did we get one more? Dean Yates?
Yatesy, yeah, but I don't think we bought a stand for him. We bought a stand for Short, didn't we? We gave him a stand for him, definitely.
Oh, so we perhaps own another one then with this.
All of a sudden, I feel so young now. I feel so young now. It's great.
So when those played, Simon, you had hair. That's how far back we're going.
I know. I remember Tommy Johnson. I remember, obviously, Yatesy and who else did you say?
Craig Short.
Craig Short. Craig Short was sort of... I think he had a season with Craig Short, maybe two, because didn't he go back 95, 94? Like
yeah, it was about that.
Yeah. See? It's up there.
I think you make a really good point, Sir Sarn. I think it's going back to the recruitment. These are the kind of players that are hungry to better their career. They are the players that we should be targeting. And you look at somebody like Peterborough, their model has worked perfectly well doing something like that. And Brentford as well as another. And I think that's the way we've got to go. You know, these players need to be given a chance, you know, to try and prove themselves. And Derby could be a great stepping stone for them to reach the digital arts of the top league.
Speaking of a goal at them, sort of, the League One Team of the Year has been announced, and Conor Horahan, of all people, that shocked quite a lot of fans, was mentioned in it, the only Derby player in there, and yet McGoldrick missed out. Chris, you look fuming. Look at his face. If you could see this, guys.
Here you go, Simon. Come to me when I've calmed down.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, McGoldrick didn't make it. Obviously, understandable, Connor Chaplin and Jonathan Clark-Harris did, both obviously top two scorers, but they stuck Sheffield Wednesday's Josh, I almost said Dean Windass, and that's his dad. Maybe his dad's on the board that picked it.
He's on the bench. He's on the bench.
But yeah, McGoldrick missing out. I don't know how they're picked, but he's been in the form of his life. Not quite sure how he's not made the team of the season. But Horahan has. What did you make of that, Nick? Were you surprised by that?
I was actually. To be honest, I don't really pay massive attention to these, you know, teams of the year because the season's not finished yet. Now, Horahan, yeah, okay, kind of surprised me, really. Not that say he's had a bad season because we all know how good he is, but at the same time, I won't say he's had a great, great season. You know, he's been scoring, banging free kicks and top bins and all that and running the show because I don't think he has. And I'm sure he'll admit that himself. Yeah. So I was quite surprised he was in there for a compact midfield too. And then McGoldrick, I was listening on Radio Derby, and he had better stats than Windass. Does it matter though? Probably not. I know you feel quite strongly about it, Chris, but for me, it is what it is. It's not going to change anything. We'll give him the recognition he needs when we hopefully get promoted, and he'll be player of the season anyway for us. We'll give him the recognition.
To me, when it comes to the reason why I'm fuming about this more than anything is that when it comes to League One Team of the Year or Championship Team of the Year, if you're going to put one out, make sure you've got players who play in the positions that they're nominated for. It does my head. Like, you look at that. If you look at that team, can you work out where they're all playing? No. Because they're leaving, you know, there's some names on there that you probably tend to agree with, and there's someone there I certainly don't agree with. But I'd much rather see a structure about it and see, oh yeah, I can see why that player's been chosen. It may not be for stats, but it could be for consistency. And I just think that some of these names that have been put on there are purely because of their surname. You know, and I think Horihan has been involved in quite a few goals throughout the season, but let's be honest.
So Horihan's been involved in 17 goals. So he's had 10 assists and 7 goals. So he's, but I mean, looking at it, Davis at Ipswich has had 17. Bannon, obviously, is in the team, has had 19. So 12 assists, 7 goals. Aaron Collins is the lad that was on about from Bristol Rovers. He's 11 assists and scored 16 goals. Obviously, he plays up front. Well, sort of a cam sort of thing. Burns at Ipswich, 18. And then obviously Horahan in fifth with 17, 10 assists and 7 goals. So it's a bit of a mixed bunch. I think you're right, Chris. Everybody knows who Conor Horahan is. That's his last name. Oh, let's put Horahan in because they'll know who he is. But likewise, most people know who Dave McGoldrick is. But as we mentioned the other week, when Cashin wasn't put up for Young Player of the Year, I'm not bothered. Yeah. I don't really care.
It's probably good for us that he's not being named that, really, because then all of a sudden, it highlights attention, doesn't it? And attention we don't need on him.
Well, Chris fully agreed with him not being mentioned, didn't you, Chris?
I did. I just wonder whether, of all the clubs, they've chosen players outside within the top seven, except for the guy from Bristol, haven't they? I don't think there's another club that's represented outside the top seven. Yeah. And Barnes have had, I'm not sure how many Barnes lads are in there, but there's got to be players below seventh down to the lower echelons who've had unbelievable seasons just because they're playing in a club that's not fashionable, shall we say, or challenging. I just think it's ludicrous how they could choose an EFL team at the top, fundamentally the top seven teams. I just think that just shows, I don't know, it just shows that there isn't a clear understanding of what makes a good footballer. And they've got, like I said, they've just gone for names half the time. I've heard that Barry Bannon has had a good season, but he's struggled this last sort of month or so. And when he struggles, the whole team struggles as Sheffield Wednesday's form has gone up and down like a yo-yo. The question I would ask is, when was it actually chosen?
Yeah, true. But even so, McGoldrick's been on form pretty much since he came into the team, let's be honest. But anyway, before we move on, though, we'll move on to obviously tomorrow's game and the playoffs, etc. Obviously, McGoldrick has been, I think it's McGoldrick has been confirmed. You were there, Nick, weren't you? The players, supporters player of the year.
Oh, no, I don't go to it.
I'm
not part of any supporters club, so I don't go.
I thought you were. I thought you were in your own little...
is there a reason, Nick? Or is that too controversial to put live on a podcast?
No. I'm not part of any supporters club, so...
I've never been either, if that makes you feel better. So can I be part of yours? Can I be part of the Nick Webster?
Of course you can, my friend.
Thanks, mate.
You can be my plus one. I have said this to the club, though, many times over the years. I would love to see some recognition for the fans that go away from home week in, week out. You know, I'm talking the likes of Mick Darby here that relentlessly go. You know, if there are people missing, one or two games a year, perhaps they should be invited to it as well. Or, some recognition for them because, they put some mileage in throughout the entire year, costs. You know, supporting your football club is not just about being at home. It's a way as well. It's important. And I would just love the club to do something.
I agree with you, Nick. I said this to my dad a couple of years ago, that Mick Darby, I would name the fan supporters trophy after him. Because that guy's an absolute legend.
He is. But, there's Lynn and John Hemsworth as well.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the same old regular faces that go.
There's George and Nick Webster.
Yeah, well, there's me and Jay. But, it's not for me. I just believe that, fans that do that should be, it would just be nice because some of them fans might want to meet the players and perhaps don't get the opportunity yet. The ones that, perhaps in the supporters club get that opportunity to and perhaps won't go to many games, but because of the part of the supporters club, they get to go. And yeah, I just think it would be just nice for, do you know what I'm saying? Just nice and fair.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally
not that
totally
I would
agree.
Go, because it's not, well, actually, tell a lie.
Oh, here we go.
Tell a lie here. Actually,
it's confessions.
I'm gonna tell you a story. Actually,
oh, story time.
Oh, story time. You know,
everybody, sit back, get a cup of tea, and relax. That's a story.
It's quite a long story. You might have seen it. I've posted it before somewhere. So, it was one of the end of season awards dues, but we didn't actually go to the end of season awards. So we went out in town, and then we met up with Bryso and all that, and went into town. Went to Scream, I think it was. And this is where we all had all the Jaegers and whatnot that night.
Ooh, friend. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, ooh, friends. Well, that was the time.
Jaeger friend.
When, yeah. But all the players, you know, came out in town after it, you know, with a few fans. And that's how it was. And, you know, fast forward a few months later on the way to Ipswich on a Tuesday night in the minibus, that's where we came up with the Jaeger song for Bryson. I BBM'd him before the game. On the minibus, did a voice note of it, BBM'd it over to him, says, oh, what do you think of this? We went to Ipswich, obviously, to Ipswich, and we sung it that night on the Tuesday night, and ever since then, it stopped.
Right, well, there we go. That is something I did not know. I wonder where the Jaeger thing came from.
It's literally that.
That's class, that is.
He won't remember it, though. I often say to him, and he don't remember that. I said, yeah, well, down in the Jaegers, my friend, because you weren't bloody paying for it. That's why I don't remember.
Oh, that's brilliant. There you go. That's a good story. That is. There we go. So there must be, I love to see where the history of songs come from and stuff like that, because it randomly pop up and then you think.
Yeah. Well, going on the recent genitals, should we say, I'd love to know where the history of the money of them songs come from.
Someone's got a little spy on in the change room like that.
just while we're talking about the songs quickly before we move on, can I have your opinion on the EFL song we're still singing? Because I just think we should. I just think we should put that one to bed, in my opinion. And I'm probably going to be hated by a lot.
What, the LA, LA,
can't we, one? Can't we change the lyrics a little bit?
For me, over time, it's going to need to be changed, I think. But for me, I like it. And I'll tell you why. Because they deducted us 21 points. And you know what? Don't ever forget that. A lot of it was our fault. Okay. I'm not going to dispute that. But sometimes we need fire in your belly, right?
I like that. Yep.
Yeah, that song will always remind us. Now, you tell me 40,000 was belting that out at Wembley. Game on.
In fairness, and that's, let's be honest, when McGoldrick scored that penalty, that song was blazing round before that, but we were getting on top of Burton. I do think that when the South Stand get going...
Yeah, when keep, they get going,
and,
sorry.
Yeah, and keep it going... So yeah. I singing it twice and then that's it.
Yeah.
When they, we used to do it with Since I Was Young.
Yeah, 100%.
That just went on for ages.
Yeah.
And that's for some reason, I don't know what it is. It seems to have, like, we've seen one or two verses and that's
it's,
it.
It's top of the pops at the minute. It's top of the pops. It will die its day soon. But I think for me,
I do like that song. I do think
it's got some personal feeling still. It takes us back to all with what we went through administration. You know, we'll sing
it.
We're going to stay up. All right, we never did, but we're going to bounce straight back. And you know, in that song has an emotional feeling at the moment. And like you say, Si, if that can get going at the right time at Pride Park and potentially Wembley, tears will be going.
I take it all back, guys, because Simon, that's a really good point. Now, and Nick, now I've sat back and thought about it, I changed my mind and blast out that song until the flipping cows come home. Yeah, I'll put that one to bed in my notebook.
Speaking of changing minds, Chris, it's not the first time you've done that this season on this podcast, is it, Mr. Automatic? Okay, maybe it's just going to be played off.
off.
Well, we can talk about it now. We can talk about, do we mention the P word? And I don't mean playoffs, I mean promotion. We are within touching distance now. It potentially could happen this weekend if we get a win over Portsmouth and Peterborough don't get all 3 points against Bristol Rovers. Playoffs, Nick. would it be one of them things where it's, it is just the right thing to happen to us. After everything in the last couple of seasons, we go up, not automatically, no offense, Chris, but via the playoffs, via the route that is the long-winded route, the hardest route, but the one that probably gives you the most satisfaction.
It is, isn't it? I've said for a while, you know, I think as a whole fan base and as a whole city, we deserve something for these last 2 years. How nice would it be if it's a Bolton Derby final? Because, you know, they've been through more than what we have.
But I feel sorry for him battering him in the final. That's the problem.
I know. But, you know, if we got to Wembley, personally, we're already in the playoffs. Our second playoff game is tomorrow. You know, past Burton is the first playoff game. So our second playoff game is tomorrow. It will be.
So you're doing this like National League style then, where they're four games.
It is because the win, you have to win them. Mm. So we're already in the playoffs. And do you know what? And I put that out on my socials because I felt that we need to be in that mindset and mentality that I didn't want us, you know, just turning up and thinking, oh, we're going to do Burton. We're going to do Portsmouth tomorrow because we're sold out practically apart from single seats. Everyone in the mindset, oh, yeah, we'll just turn up right and we're going to do it. No, it's our second playoff game tomorrow. Even if we got to the playoff semi, well, the recognised playoff semi-finals, what an achievement that is, you know, to get in those semi-finals, irrespective of the coverage it'll bring us, the TV money, the gate receipts money, to be part of them games. That's where we want to be as. You know, we've done, 50-odd games this year? Well, I don't know, 55 games, I don't even know what it is. You know, it'd be nice to get some kind of reward. And if we didn't go up through the playoffs, then so be it. You want to be part of games in the playoffs. That's, you know, the special games, win or lose, really. Yeah. And even Wembley, that's what it's about, winning and losing. And
Wembley's been the most heartbreaking place for the past 6-7 seasons.
I think for me, I mean, the heartbreaking one was QPR, seeing literally men, women, children crying their eyes out. And I remember George went corporate and my mum and dad, and so I really didn't get to see him till, you know, full time. And he came running down to me crying his eyes out at the same time that Johnny Russell came back crying his eyes out.
Yeah.
And the amount of people around me in the block that we were in were just, you know, proper grown men in absolute bits, in tears. And you know what? Football, it's a funny old game, isn't it? It's an emotional game, and you know, it's so nice to win, but you've got to lose at the same time so you can appreciate winning so much. And I just think, as I say, as a fan base in a city, we deserve our day. It's going to be a lot of hard work to get there, but how nice would it be after the 2-3 years that we've all had?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Chris, can we do it?
I think that's why you've seen the formation change and the whole philosophy of the football this last two games. I think we're 5-1 beaten, if I remember rightly, at the moment. I'm all with 3 unbeaten. I think it is 5. I think Bristol Rovers. Yeah, I think Bristol Rovers was a big wake up call that we just could not carry on doing what we were doing, or we were just going to basically blow the whole situation. And I just think that I said to you, Simon, there was games away from Derby County that I said people would come undone. Accrington at Bolton. Accrington are fighting for their lives. Yeah. And I just saw that coming. I saw Cambridge. I said to you, didn't Cambridge will beat Peterborough.
Yeah, we had a massive chance there. We'd be already in the playoffs now. We'd beat, was it MK Dons, weren't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I said that would happen, Nick. And I just
Just to add on that, Chris, do you not think it's a good thing? If we don't get there, it's toe leg on the face here. But, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but do you not think it's a good thing that we're going into the playoffs, having to win to get in there? That mentality's there. Not being like a Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you not think it's a good thing?
The way I look at it, Sheffield Wednesday, they don't go automatics. They're going to feel the pressure.
Yeah.
The way I look at it, they're going to feel the pressure. Derby now, all they've got to do is enjoy. Enjoy every game now. That's what if I was Paul Warren, I'd be saying that. Don't worry about pressure. If you make it to the playoffs or you don't, doesn't matter. Just go out and enjoy the last two games of the season. Go and play for the shirt. Go play for the fans that have followed you up and down the country every single week for the past however many weeks it's been. Just enjoy the moment. Because you look at some of them players, this could be their last chance of getting into a playoff final or a playoff semi-final. You know, so I just say to them, there's no pressure. Go out and enjoy yourself. Go in and play your football.
I get you with that completely, but I go back to what I was saying about the philosophy change and the style. I'd take five games of billy ball all day long from now. Yeah. I really would. I'm not convinced Peterborough will get a result from Bristol Rovers tomorrow. I know we shouldn't be looking at that, and I'm not convinced Bolton are out. I won't be surprised at all if Peterborough and Derby surpass Bolton, because I think, I tell you what, their kahunas are well and truly in their throats at the moment after getting beat by Accrington.
Yeah.
Their goal difference has gone. Their distance in points has gone. They're down to level points with us. They've got some tough games themselves. Look, I'm with Nick. Our form is gentle. I call it gentle. Mm. We're not ripping up any trees. We're not digging up any big holes. We're just going about our business.
No one's mentioning us neither.
No. And also, can I just say, I want to congratulate Burton Albion, because I tell you what, A, they got safe against Lincoln midweek with a fantastic result. They are a tough team to beat. And I think Derby showed their pedigree going into the playoffs by not only beating Exeter away from home, but beating a very tough Burton team who had beat Sheffield Wednesday, Bolton, and I believe they took a point off, was it Plymouth or Ipswich?
Tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, so, oh, that's right, yeah, because they could even have a say in the bloody promotion title decider. Well,
they've basically beaten Barnsley recently. They've beaten Barnsley, beaten Chef Wednesday, and drawn against Bolton.
There you go. So for us to get a result as we had and grind it out, what I loved about it was we were in that game from start to finish.
Yeah.
We didn't drop off any cliff and lose our form and lose our energy. We looked consistent all the way through it. Exeter, we started off very, very slowly, hung in there till half time. Got a kick up the derriere and came out a different team. I just think that if you look at Derby County in the last 135 minutes, I think you've seen a different team to what we saw for the previous five games, Nick.
What I will say about Bristol Rovers, they've got nothing to play for. They have nothing to play for against us. But Jerry Barton's got that mentality of, I don't care who they are, go and kick them about. I'm not bothered if they're looking for promotion. I'm not bothered that we're safe. We're not on the beach until the last game of the season. Until then. So it won't be an easy game. Then they've obviously got Barnsley. You know, Barnsley want to try and, you know, I thought they might, you know, just sort of push for the automatic spots. But, you know, there's potential they can go to third and get that, you know, get the what do you call it, home game second.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so they'll want to continue with their momentum, basically, is what I'm saying.
And Bolton have got Fleetwood at home.
Yes.
And God knows what you're going to get with Fleetwood.
Mr. Marriott will be scoring.
Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack. Do us a favour.
He got a hat-trick the other day, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah. He got a hat-trick the other day.
I'd still take him at Derby. I don't know why. I just think he was unfairly. I felt there was too much stuff floating around about him that...
He's a good man. He's a good man.
One thing I will say, though, just before I'll move on to, obviously, Portsmouth, is going back, looking in the past at former players. Darren Bent on TalkSport. Did anybody hear him when he was talking about Mel Morris?
Yeah.
And now, there was always a rumour that Mel had come into the dressing room and bollocked the players and cancelled the trip to Dubai. Oh. And Darren Bent on TalkSport confirmed it.
I was down the tunnel when that happened.
It's one of them, though. I was like 90% sure that because of who told me that it was true, but there's always that nagging doubt, is it actually true? So to actually hear it from a player, which is great. Benty, I think Bent's brilliant on TalkSport, by the way. But I think if anybody asked him about Derby County, he doesn't shirk it now. He's not bothered. It'll tell you exactly how it is. And I was just like, wow. He's just thinking, way to kill the morale of the players going into, obviously, the final few games of the season where you're looking for automatic promotion, let alone playoffs. I just thought, that's staggering, that is, that he did that. And we all, you know, a lot of people blame Clement for it. Well, clearly, I don't think it was. But Again, I can't imagine David Clowes doing that, rocking up into the dressing room to give the players a bollocking, to be honest.
No chance. Absolutely no chance.
So, yeah, Portsmouth then tomorrow, last game, last home game of the season. I am devastated because I'm not going. I'm absolutely gutted.
Oh, mate.
Oh, well, since I've been to every single home because of financials and stuff like that, not been able to. But then since November, I've been to every single home game. And then this one, I've been taking the kids and stuff. And then this one, I didn't get paid till Thursday. And I was like, please, there was some left on Wednesday where there was four. And then Thursday went on in the morning. I was like, single seats, that's it.
Yeah, it's only singles now, isn't it?
I said there was one set of doubles, but that was in the East Stand. I was like, but I can't really not take the kids now because that's just starting to enjoy it. I'm going to football this weekend. Like, yeah, obviously it's Saturday. So I'm glad they enjoyed it. So yeah, I'm absolutely devastated that I'm not going, but I'll be watching it on Rams TV. By hook or by crook. But yeah, Portsmouth then. Nick, what kind of game are you expecting? They're out of the playoffs now. They can't make it. You know, Chris, look at Chris's face. I can't wait to hear what you've got to say about this, Chris. Go on, Nick.
I'm going for a, you know, I expect it to be a fast start. It has to be a fast start, doesn't it? Take the momentum straight to them. You know, them not having anything to play for can be a worry. You know, they're not going to be a rollover. It's Portsmouth. They got sold out 3,000. That's the away game of the season. You know, they're going to want to be, you know, putting things out there, aren't they, for next season? So it ain't going to be a rollover. It's the second playoff game. So I think we need to hit the running quick and fast and go for that early goal is how I see it panning out.
I think you agree. I think if we get, because they will, I know I said they need to just go out and enjoy it, but I think they know that they have to win these next two games at a minimum.
Yeah.
Right now, no matter what Peterborough do, they have to win these games. So I think getting that early goal just eases that pressure a little.
100%. And we've got to be so careful. We don't want to be in a situation at come 5 o'clock tomorrow where we know that we're going to be going to Sheffield and Summit riding on it for either team, particularly yours. Because if we need to pick something, you know, a point or three, the Wednesday need to win to go up. We don't want to be in that situation. As much as I love the drama of it all, we don't want to be in it.
No.
So let's try and get the business done as much as we can tomorrow and at least still leave it in our hands.
Definitely. I mean, because obviously Plymouth host Burton tomorrow and win their season promoted, I believe it is. Which they'll love.
I think they just need one point, don't they?
Yeah. Well, so, but if they win tomorrow, they're on 98 points. That'll. Wow. But I don't know. No goal difference. I think Ipswich got a better goal difference on them, so they'll get promoted. They'll want the title now.
Yeah, I'm on about Sheffield Wednesday. I think to keep Sheffield Wednesday out of it because one of them's five ahead. And one of them's four ahead.
Yeah, so Ipswich are four ahead and Plymouth are five. So a point tomorrow for Plymouth confirmed.
If they basically match Sheffield Wednesday's result, then it's irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah, then Ipswich have got Exeter. They win that confirms their promotion as well. Wednesday have got an away game against Shrewsbury.
It's got 0-0 written all over it. I think Portsmouth are the draw specialists, aren't they, this last sort of month or so? Like looking at their run in their last six games, they've only scored six goals in five games. So, you know, it's going to be tight. Well, they've only conceded three. So, you know what's coming. But I just don't think John Messino will go out there gun-ho. I think he'll gladly take a Portsmouth result of some sort away from Prior Park and not get spanked, which I think tomorrow is going to be a game of chess.
Yeah, but that's what the away fixture was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what?
It was so shit. It really was.
My one big fear will be that whilst we're in a very tense game at Prior Park, it's 0-0 or 1-1 or whatever, if a if a score comes through the stands that Peterborough have took the lead in the 80th minute of you, I've just got to worry that will resonate around the stadium. I don't know what you think, guys, and that will cause stress. And yeah. I would like to think that we're in a situation where that we've got the game in the bag all pretty much sealed up for that not to disturb. The only thing that worries me if that happens quite early.
There will be that bloke tomorrow, that old bloke that's got an old radio with either Radio 5 Live or BBC Radio Die tuned in just like that for the whole, with his hand over his ear for the whole game, passing out the message of the scores.
But do you know what, though? Maybe that's what we do need, though, because, you know, if we come 75, 80 minutes and Peterborough are winning,
it's 0-0.
We're drawing. It's incentive, we've got to go. This is in our hands. We're talking 30,000 here. I'd rather take it in the last 10 minutes of the game at Portsmouth than go to Sheffield.
And let's be honest, they're going to do a lap of honour after the game. They're going to want to walk around 30,000 fans that have just seen them win.
Yeah.
And keep their playoff hopes alive or potentially be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
To 30,000 happy fans, not 30,000 fans that are like, shit, we've blown it. Because at the end of the day now, we are there. We're top six. In every Derby County fan's mind, maybe not Chris's because he's annoying like that. He's a pessimist. Right now, Derby deserve. I'm only joking, Chris. Derby deserve.
It's true. It's true.
Derby should be in them playoffs.
It should. What I will say, guys, is that the only disadvantage we've got against Peterborough tomorrow is that Peterborough have got to go with one thing and one thing only on their mind. They've got to win. They have to win.
Yeah.
Derby, I've got that horrible scenario where a result of sorts keeps them ahead of the show, and I don't like that. I'd much rather it be win or bust tomorrow with a constructive measure. So I'll take Billy Ball, one shot on target, all game, 78th minute, and then we put up a defensive 8 at the back and 2 up top. And play like we did. I tell you what, Nick, I'll take a West Brom 2008 playoff final all day tomorrow. Yeah. I really would. Wouldn't you?
I'll message Giles Barnes if he's available.
Giles Barnes.
Not Barnes. What about the actual resilience? Yeah.
Well, you know, again, you know, you look back on that day, all the pressure was on West Brom, wasn't it? Listen, it's in our hands.
See, Bristol have got a say in this promotion run. I'm telling you now.
Because
they've got Peterborough this week and they've got Bolton next week.
Half of me thinks, though, that something will be riding on the Sheffield game, only because of what happened.
That is the worst thing, you know. That is it. It's written, isn't it?
First of all,
we relegated them.
Yeah.
And then imagine denying them promotion and going up. It's one of the stories in football that just they just happen, and then you know that it's meant to be. If we get Sheffield Wednesday in the playoffs, we're going up and they're staying down. I'm telling you that. It's just written. Jesus. And then the Wendy's are gonna hate us even more, aren't they?
I don't know if the 2000 will get home alive though that night, I tell you. Well, actually, if we finish sixth, the second playoff legs at 12:30. So ideally, I want to finish fifth. So we have 2:30 PM kickoffs. Although that being said, the first leg, if we do finish sixth, is at 8:00 on the Friday night, which would be good. I think that would work in our favour at Pride Park, as we well know. But that second leg, half 12 kickoffs, awful, isn't it?
Yeah, but the nice thing is both of them are only 45 minutes to an hour away, depending on how well you drive or take the train.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. It could have been Plymouth or Ipswich.
Well, actually, it could have been better, because if it was Plymouth, we'd have took over the town on the Friday night.
That's true. But
and all of a sudden, you're already creating a bit of a bubble vacuum, aren't you? You know what I mean? Take over the town the Friday night, get everyone meeting the team coach like we did at Brighton away in the playoffs, because everyone's down there early. How good would that be? So sometimes it can, you know, because realistically, majority of people would travel overnight on Friday. I'd like to think, you know. But obviously, we're not going to play them, so that's good.
And what about you, Simon? What would you honestly prefer?
What, in the playoffs?
Well, how do you see it going from Now, whilst we've got Nick on, potentially, we'll try and get him on before the final. There's the pessimist to me again. Do you think it'll pan out to the last game, Simon, or do you think it'll be resolved tomorrow?
Well, as a fan, I'm with exactly what Nick said. I want it all to be over tomorrow. I want to be able to go Sheffield Wednesday. Not really care. I just have it in the background. I know it's done. But I don't think it will. I think it will go to the final day. I just think, I know Peterborough are struggling, but they've got a good manager. And, they've been promoted before. They've been in this situation before. They'll keep chasing. I could potentially see Bolton dropping out. I don't know why. I just can see.
I have that vision.
Yeah, I just can see, for some reason, Bolton dropping points against, was it Fleetwood, and then dropping points against Bristol Rovers. Because when we've played them, I didn't think they looked a top six side.
In Bolton?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. When we played them on Boxing Day, I wasn't impressed with them at all.
No, I thought both. I just didn't feel that they looked like a top six side. I mean, granted, fair enough. They've done enough this season to be there. You know, you deserve where you are.
But bearing in mind, they haven't scored many goals though to get there.
Exactly, they've got a good defense. They're not conceding many, and that's the thing. But I just think I just know it's going to go down to the final day, and we're going to need it. I suppose if we win tomorrow, we just need a point, don't we, against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
But so, what if Wednesday need to win?
I know, and this is it. We really need those down in Devon.
EFL have been rubbing their hands together at this.
I tell you what, the season, if you look through the leagues, the Premier League's crazy, the relegation in that, we know, yeah, and even top Championship, playoffs, bottom, crazy.
Yeah.
League One, bottom has done whatever, but the playoff race this season has been absolutely incredible.
I said to
Chris, if we're in the playoffs in March, we'll get the playoffs. And obviously we dropped out in March. Just at the end of March, I was like, yes. That means if we're failing, I'm all right.
It's been the same in all three divisions though, hasn't it? Yeah. Like Div 2, 1 and the Championship hasn't been decided and it's gonna go to the last day. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I just think it's gonna be last day drama and it. But that's why we love football, though, isn't it? We take the highs, we take the lows. You know, you sat there. That Sheffield Wednesday game in the COVID, honestly, we're up. Like, oh, what's going on? You know, you just thought, I can't deal with this.
You just want to be there with a few beers inside you, don't you?
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. We couldn't, couldn't we? We couldn't even go. You know, fair play to the lads and ladies that went and got, absolutely drenched. But yeah, that was horrendous, and even you can even look back at the Leeds game, the Leeds in the playoff, that 4-2. You're just thinking, my God. And then obviously we had the heartache.
I think for me that will be my best ever game that I've ever been to, and I don't think anything, even a playoff final, will ever replicate that.
It was just the whole history behind that game, wasn't it? Really, it was everything because they'd spied on us, they'd annihilated us twice that season.
Yeah.
Obviously, went home. We should have had a penalty, didn't get one. They win 1-0. You think, right? No one's ever come from behind. We then go behind at Elland Road, and you're thinking, that's it. I literally went, that's it. I remember messaging my dad, I'm not bothering now. It's done. And then obviously, I kept it on because I always say that, but I never turn a game off. I'll never walk away from a game early. And then the best one is, that they did the Amazon thing, didn't they? Leeds did at the time. And at half time, after Marriott had scored, Scott Malone went down a tunnel. All you heard him say, "They've gone, lads, they've gone." And it was literally like they must have gone in that change room and they must have gone, "They've gone. If we get at these, they'll just, they'll go," and they did. And
I think for me, the crucial thing about that game was that I even said to George when they went 1-0 up, I says, "We're still in this," because I knew that if we score, it game changes everything.
Well, the crowd just went, whoa.
The whole, yeah, they had a massive expectation and they felt they had the right to beat us because they were 2-0 up. So, half time happens. Derby players walk off, and all you're seeing is, you know, 3,000 Derby fans bouncing, literally bouncing right for it, bouncing. As a player, I want to be straight back on that pitch. I don't want no half time.
No.
Like, you know, as a player walking down a tunnel, which is exactly where the away end is, seeing that would have added an extra 10, 15% to their performance. And obviously, the rest is history.
It's one of those grounds or clubs where when the crowd turns against you, there's genuine hate towards their own team. Whereas I think at Derby, we have empathy and passion. And although we're frustrated, we would never turn on the players and give them the feeling that I thought the Leeds supporters gave their team that night.
Yeah, I agree. I love Leeds as a fan base. I think they're superb.
Yeah,
I think they're very, very loyal.
That Mason Mount get goal, though, I've never heard Leeds fans just go silent.
Yeah.
You know, John, you watch vlogs of it and stuff like that. All you can hear is the Derby fans, and that just killed them. And you thought, the fans are gone, the players are gone. Obviously, we get the penalty, we go 3-0, but we still made it difficult for ourselves, didn't we? We had to bring that drama. And it's one of them games that will be... I know it's not a final, it's only a semi-final, but it's one of them games that Sky will quite happily show over and over again because of how good a game it was.
Well, I kind of went into the final against Villa thinking, I don't really care. Well, I do care. Probably the wrong word. But look, I said to myself, look, if we lose, I've just experienced the best laugh ever following Derby. It eclipsed ever the 3-2 Man United win or the 10-man at Forest. It's only eclipsed all of that. And I just thought, this is a free hit at Villa. My day was made the other day at Leeds to get here. You know, we could bang on about Villa all you like and that team selection, but there you go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Nick. I think it was I think the expectation was that Villa were going to win that with the squad they had and the form they're on. And we got there by a glorious night that you'll never forget.
But we should have done better, Chris. My point is, we all felt it at 2 p.m. when that team was announced. That's when we lost the game, not at 5 o'clock or at 4, whatever it was. We lost that game at 5. Not starting Jack Marriott was absolutely suicidal. As a player, he would have been on such a high. Doesn't matter whatever player you are, whatever club. If you've just come on and done that in that game, you're starting. End of.
He was
being a footballer.
He was devastated. He didn't start. He was absolutely. He was on a podcast about it, and he was devastated. He was like, I've literally just won the game for him.
Yeah.
And he starts with Mason Bennett up front.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, Si, if you played for Huddersfield and you just go and do that in a playoff semi-final and then they drop you for the biggest game of your career after what you did.
And people question Lampard as a manager.
For a guy that got substituted for him, I believe, if I remember rightly.
Dwayne Holmes came off.
Dwayne Holmes came off, that's right, until I ignore what I said then. Well, Mason didn't play, other than getting the penalty...
He hit the post as well.
Yeah.
He hit the post, yeah. But how the hell can you start Mason Bennett over Jack Marriott? How?
I don't know. I mean, at least if we do get to the playoffs and to the final, I know we're jumping the gun a bit, we know what we can expect. We know what squad, what team we can pretty much expect. And I think that is a benefit of having a small team, a small squad. And I think, to be honest, I was shocked when he changed the shape, changed the personnel. I would no way near. I just thought, he's just going to stick with the 4-4-2 or 3-5-2 to the end of the season. Now he's not going to bother. But it shows that Warren does expect playoffs this season. And he does want playoffs this season. The fact that he's gone, right, we've been in a really bad run of form. Right, I need to change it now. I need to do something drastic, something different. And, well, something that makes sense. I'm going to put players. Sorry, Colo, you've been, you work hard for me, but I need Didsy up front. I need Mendes Lang frightening fullbacks. I need Sibley running the other side. I need some steadiness in midfield with Horahan or Bird or Horahan and Smith. You know, I need 90. I need his energy defending. He can go up and down a pitch for 90 minutes. Roberts, another one, can go up and down a pitch for 90 minutes. He can come inside. He can go on the outside. He can put balls into the box. It's almost as if to say, it felt like, I don't know, that why has he not thought of this before? Which, you know, well, none of us did. That's the truth, you know, case in point, none of us went, I know, why don't we shoot? Me and Chris, you know, we spoke about different formations and stuff like this on the show, and we not one of us went, let's play a 3-4-3. You know, let's put four in midfield and three up top. And, you know, and I just think it goes to show that that's why he is a proven manager. That's why he is a good manager.
And I think as well, Si, the players have bought into it. And the reason they bought into it is because it's got its results. One loss at Ipswich. You know, it's not, you know, we all know how brilliant Ipswich were, but players buy into it because it's actually getting success. Yeah, you know, take out those crazy MK Dons and Bristol Rovers, it's getting success.
Yeah, the final thing I'll say on it, guys, is that he's all of a sudden put a change into the system which is working, and it makes Sheffield Wednesday and Barnsley, let's be honest, who we'll probably be playing, thinking they haven't played this system before. They haven't played these players in a certain way before. Do they rip up their notebook and their film footage of Derby County in March and February, because it's a completely different Derby County mentality to what they'll have on their video footage.
Which is a sign of good management though, isn't it?
You've got to keep him guessing, and I think Warren knows this. He knew we were too predictable. I know we watch them week in, week out, but we knew exactly what was happening. We knew the changes that were coming, who was coming off, who was coming on. It was predictable. So speaking of predictions then, before we finish, Chris, score tomorrow.
1-0.
2. But come on, make it clear, Chris. You can just go 1-0. I said it'd be 1-0. I never said who.
1-0, Derby County, Curtis Davis.
He's desperate. He is desperate for Davis to score a goal.
It's possible. Although let's not hope it's not the last home game of the season, but I'd just like him to score a goal in front of the faithful before the end of the season.
Can I just quickly say before I go to your prediction, Nick? I was wrong about Curtis Davis, and I put my hands up and admit it.
Good lad.
he still can last 90 minutes. He has still got. I've never known someone like him. He come in, he was absolutely dog shit, and I thought he's done. And then now he's been an absolute rock these past three. But I think that's who he's got beside of him. That, you know, it means that he can boss them about and put them where he needs them to be. And I think it just makes him go,
I could just defend now.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's been absolutely brilliant, I think, the last few. I think he's gone unnoticed, but I think he's been absolutely brilliantly defensive. Everyone's, you know, looking at cashing, but I think him and Fozzy have used their experience very well. You know, Fozzie's putting in the little niggly fouls that probably doesn't need to, but it's stopping a counter-attack.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just taking him off the team here. You know, so I think, yeah, it works. Nick, prediction, please.
2-0 Derby or 2-2.
Oh! You can't do that!
I can. my gut feeling is it's going to be 2-0 Derby, and then it's going to come 2-2.
Why do you think 2-2?
Because I think something's going to happen that means something will be on that Sheffield game. And that's, you know, I can't just say when, because then it means it probably more than likely won't happen.
We'd be out of playoffs and it happened, Nick. So there.
And I've just got a horrible feeling. And the reason I went for 2-2 was because that Premier League season we drew 2-2, didn't we? Andy Todd scored. Down at the South Stand.
That was the very first home game of the season, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And when we thought things would be rosy.
I'm trying to think who... Did Matt Oakley get the other one?
Oh, I can't remember.
I think he did.
Can't remember.
But so who's your goal scorers on this one, then?
I ain't going to say McGoldrick, because he ain't got a really good goal scoring record at the minute, has he? I'm going to go with Collins, and I'm going to go Horahan outside the area.
Free kick. Do you know with that goal, was it Exeter, the free kick that Didzy scored, I went right, this is the same position that Didzy scored against Morecambe against from the free, was it Morecambe just for half time, and I went, here we go, watch, I said, and they were going, and I think Owen Bradley was on comms going, or whoever it was going, yeah, Horahan looks to step over this, I thought, he's not, it's going to roll it to Didzy, he's going to stick it in the top corner. Bang!
Superb.
It was just brilliant.
It was the movement from Horahan that did it.
Oh yeah, it was.
Wasn't it?
Are you supposed to? Yeah. So my go then. I'm gonna right.
See, you're not sure, Si. You're not sure, are you? No. Have I put a doubt in your mind now?
You have now. You've planted it in there. No, stuff you. I'm going for it. I'm going 2-1.
So you're quite close then. We're all close here.
Well, I'm going 2-1. We're gonna go a goal behind. Right. This is exactly what's gonna happen. Put your bets on now, peeps. We're gonna go a goal behind in the 5th minute, right? And then we're gonna be shitting ourselves for like the next 85 minutes. However, all of a sudden the bloke with the radio goes, Peterborough losing. The whole South Stand resonates out round the ground. We start singing the deducted 21-point song. Bang, goal. Louis Sibley picks the ball apart next, takes it back to the centre circle, gives it the arms to the fans, getting them going again. The fans carrying going. 89th minute. Didsy, who's missed 2 headers and a volley at the back post for the past 4 games, the past 2 home games, finally bangs one in from a yard out of the back post. And that's it. We get a full-time whistle. We hear that Peterborough lost. We make the playoffs. Jobs are good. And that's my prediction.
I'll take that now. Go home.
You see, I've just been looking at a bit on social about Portsmouth fans, and I'm reading into what they're saying. They're not really, although they've got a big crowd going tomorrow, sell-out away end, they're not that confident that they're going to come away with much from Derby. They feel that...
Well, why would they? Yeah. Yeah. Why would they?
They feel that everything is against them tomorrow with the momentum we're on, the push that we're on. I don't think nerves will set in. The only time we've been in this situation before, we're not looking at history. Can you remember when McLaren blew it against Reading?
Yes.
We only needed 1 point in that game.
Yeah. And that's sometimes the problem.
And he had
that
massive mistake
from Will Hughes in like the early opening that led to the penalty.
He hadn't got a plan of what to do that game. He didn't know whether to sit back or go forward, and we end up literally in no man's land all game. And that's my only fear tomorrow. I just hope that he's structured game management, plays we did against Burton with that nice structured feel about the team. And I think we'll absolutely be fine. And my prediction is that Bolton may well be out of the playoff spots tomorrow.
I tell you what, one day we're going to look back on this and go, I was so wrong. Oh, wow, I was so right. And Nick's going to be like, hey, God, so I told you we're 2-2, lads.
Well, before we go and we thank Nick for his amazing time tonight, I did say, didn't I, that we'd be back in the top six after that set of 3 games. Everyone was going, we're out of the top six. That's it. We're done. And I can't see us getting back into it. I predicted Cambridge would beat Peterborough, didn't I, Simon?
Yeah, he did. You should have seen the text he sent me.
I said that we'd beat Exeter away because Exeter will be on their knees after getting beat at home by Plymouth in their local derby. They did. And I heard that they played well against Plymouth. And give it everything. So we went to that game refreshed. We stayed down south. We played them off the park second half, bar one mistake. They were out. They were completely off the feet. So I just see that Bolton are that result against Accrington could cost them dearly. Their mental state could be in tatters.
Yeah, I would disagree at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, yeah. Tomorrow could
be lots of twists and turns. Isn't there?
I we did say a few weeks ago that this running, it's going to be one hell of a drama, and it's proven to be right in a minute. And now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're almost at the end credits. We've just got to have that cliffhanger, and it's coming.
We're not quite ready for the season to finish yet.
I'm not. You know what? I've really enjoyed this season. I really enjoyed League One. I knew I would. You know, I just it's new, isn't it? All new, different grounds, different teams, and I think it's been no matter what happens over the next 2, possibly 5 games, I just think it's been an incredible season. I think everybody at the club's got to give themselves a pat on the back, I think all the fans have as well, because to be selling out. Or getting 20, I think average of 27,000 home fans a week, selling out every away game every week. It just shows how much this club means to everybody that supports it.
And it's not over yet, guys. It's not over yet. I'm still confident we have another home game to come.
That's true. But the podcast is over now. So thank you, everyone, for listening, tuning in. Remember to like, share, and subscribe on the YouTube platforms. I'm not putting it on YouTube yet. I can't be bothered. On the podcasting platforms. Remember, you can follow Chris on Twitter at DCFC_CMH. You can.
I'm Facebook now. I'm on Facebook now. I've got my home this week. Yeah, after 10 years of being stalked, I'm finally back.
Yeah, it's shocking. It is shocking. You can follow Nick on Twitter as well at Black Man Nick, I think it is, isn't it?
DCFC_.
That's the one. You can't follow me on Twitter because I'm not on it. Instagram, I am the Rams Right Podcast. TikTok, I'm Rams Right Podcast. Facebook, Rams Right Podcast. Give us all a follow and, yeah, like our stuff, remember? But, yeah, so big game tomorrow. Fingers crossed for a win. Guys, thank you so much for your time. It's been absolutely brilliant. And thank you guys for listening. And as always, we shall see you soon. Come on, Derby.